It's The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. And now we're moving out of the news and into the light. 2015 has been designated the Year of Light by UNESCO, and so we're recognising it by devoting the second half of this week's programme to it. Coming up, we'll hear how scientists first struggled to explain what light actually is, how our eyes detect it, and how bionic implants are being built to restore sight, and also how scientists are probing the oldest light in the universe to unlock the secrets of the Big Bang. Although, when they were doing this, when it was first found, the discoverers initially thought they'd found something quite different.
One of the possible explanations was that it was actually pigeon droppings in the antenna that they were using to look at the sky.
And we'll find out what that's all about later on in the show. To most people, light refers to something that comes in a range of colours and is something you can see. But visible light is actually part of a much larger electromagnetic spectrum that ranges from long wavelength radio waves at one end of the scale to very short wavelength X-rays and gamma rays at the other. The part of the spectrum that we can actually see sits roughly somewhere in the middle. And to complicate matters further, sometimes light behaves as though it's a wave, while at other times it behaves like a stream of tiny particles.
One of the pioneers of the study of light was Isaac Newton. Gray Jackson went to meet historian Scott Mandelbrot to see some of Newton's original notebooks, which are kept under very strict security at Cambridge University Library.
As we've walked down these aisles, we've walked past Charles Darwin, and now that we're in Newton's aisle, I can see Kelvin's papers, and a bit further down, Ernest Rutherford's. It's a staggering collection of scientific manuscripts.
Yes, well, the University Library holds one of the finest collections of scientific manuscripts in the world, and has held Newton's papers since the late 19th century.
The papers I had come to see had been especially laid out in the manuscript reading room.
Oh, I'm so excited!
As you may be able to hear, I was just a tad amazed at the thought of seeing the original notebooks that Sir Isaac Newton himself had handwritten.
Well, we're now in a room which has a number of Newton's papers, a wonderful collection, and some of the most important things that Newton wrote.
And they're in fantastic condition, and I'm beginning to see why, because they're beautifully laid out on what looks like individual pillows for each and every single notebook. I wonder if we could focus on this one in particular, because it's a sort of an A5 notebook, and there's a what looks like an eyeball with a stick pointing at it. What's he describing here?
Well, what he writes is, "I took a bodkin and put it betwixt my eye and the bone, as near to the backside of my eye as I could, and pressing my eye with the end of it, there appeared several white, dark, and coloured circles, which circles were plainest when I continued to rub my eye with the point of the bodkin."
Yes, you did hear that right. Newton peeled back his eyelid and stuck a bodkin, or what we call them today, a giant needle, between his eyeball and cheekbone. He also stuck a brass plate in there too, and later stared directly at the sun until he went blind. Fortunately, Newton's eyesight recovered in all incidences. Why bother, you may wonder? Well, Newton was interested in the nature of light and how we see things around us. This particular experiment was designed to see if colour was the product of the outside world or created within the mind. And although sticking a needle in his eye didn't exactly determine this, it was one of many steps that led him to demonstrate how white light is made up of 7 individual colours. Prior to this revelation, it was widely believed that light was pure and that colours were created by the mixing of light and darkness. So white light is 7 colours combined. But what physically is light? I met Zephyr Panoia, a trainee physicist at Cambridge University, on the river to see if he could give me any answers.
Newton was one of the big supporters of the idea of light as a particle, which he believed in because he saw how light reflected in straight lines off a surface, just like a ball bouncing off a surface.
Thomas Young came along and he said, "No, Newton, you're wrong." What did he say?
He came up with a fantastic experiment where you take two small slits in a piece of material and shine a light on them. And if Newton was right, what we'd see is two dots of light.
I can see that working.
It does seem to make sense, but actually, if you do it, you don't see that. You see a series of white and dark bands.
A bit like a barcode, then?
Yeah, it looks exactly like a barcode. And this is a thing that only waves do. We've got here two poles and a river, and I'm going to show what interference looks like.
Okay, let's go for it. We have two punt poles, because we are on the river cam, and you're going to dip them in and out of the water at the same time.
Yep, so I'm going to dip them in and out. Oh, they're quite heavy.
And we're seeing a series of ripples from both of the poles, as you'd expect, like you drop a stone in a pond, you see the ripples cast out. But actually, where the ripples meet, something quite interesting is happening.
What a ripple is a series of peaks and troughs moving outwards from point. But where the two ripples meet, some places the peaks are together and they add up, some places the troughs are together and they add up, but some places the peaks and troughs meet and they add up to nothing. Because waves have this property of adding up and cancelling out, this is exactly why we see this series of light and dark stripes on the wall. And this is why Young's experiments proved that light must be a wave.
Problem solved. That's what I saw in my textbooks when I was 16. Light is a wave, right?
Well, yeah, light is a wave. But now the next issue is how light travels. So we know that sound waves must move through a solid object or through air. Water waves must move through water. So what does light move through?
Air? Is it not the same?
Well, we know that light does move through air because we see light on Earth, but we also see light moving through space. And we know space is a vacuum. Sound can't travel through space because there's nothing to transfer the vibrations in space. But somehow light does. And that was the next question which really puzzled scientists.
How does light travel then?
Someone called James Clerk Maxwell came along who showed that it's mathematically true that electric and magnetic fields can make waves. And he put this together to show that light is actually variations in electric and magnetic fields. And this not only explains how light travels through a vacuum, but also explains things like how light comes in different colours and is different temperatures and energies.
Different wavelengths of light have different properties, and that's where your radio waves, microwaves, and X-rays come in. It's all light, but just in different forms. Light, then, is a wave, and we can all breathe one big sigh of relief. Well, sadly not. Einstein came along with the photoelectric effect. He noticed more electrons were emitted from a metal when certain colours of light were shone on it. This is weird because, well, waves shouldn't have that effect on electrons. Particles, on the other hand, do. So Einstein said, hey, you know what? Light comes in little packets or bundles, and I hereby call them photons. Does that mean Newton was right all along when he said light was a particle? Well, then Einstein developed his theory of special relativity and said light was a field of waves. Yeah, I know, confusing. So this takes us right back to square one. What is light? A wave? A particle? Or could it in fact be both?
In some ways, Newton was right. Light can behave like a particle, like a photon. But at the same time, Maxwell was completely right, and Young, when they said that light behaved like a wave. Light behaves as both. We call this wave-particle duality, and it's something that we see a lot of evidence for in science, but still can't really explain why light will behave as a particle sometimes and a wave as others.
Does this mean we still don't really know what light is?
It kind of does. We still might find that there's a better explanation for light, or it may just be that light is going to remain this confusing thing that we don't quite understand.
Light is clearly a teenager. It just can't make its mind up. That was Zephyr Penoyer, who is studying physics at Cambridge University, and before him, Scott Mandelbrot.